number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, so Super Bowl 50 coming up this weekend, and I said this all night tonight, still don't really know where I'm going with it. 800-777-2907 if you want to tell me where you're heading with Super Bowl 50, and where are you leaning, and where would the Carolina Panthers be if they do go 15-1 during the regular season and cap it off with a Super Bowl victory? What if it's big? What if it's a dominating performance? What if it's 38-3? What if it's just a big Carolina Panthers celebration from start to finish? They score early. They never look back. They never have trouble. And they end up dominating the Super Bowl. We were talking earlier about the 1985 Chicago Bears, a team that you put a year, you put the team, and everybody who knows anything about football who was around that time knows exactly what you're talking about, the historic nature of that team as one of the greatest of all time. Now, I don't think this Carolina Panthers team comes to that level. But, however, could you say 2015 Carolina Panthers in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, and have it mean something, have it impact, have it have some sort of people going, yeah, I remember that team? Hard to do, because at no point during the season were we looking at this team as one of the all-time greats. I mean, once they started winning games, sure, but even then we were still wondering, a lot of us were, is the other shoe going to drop on this team? Is there going to be a game where this team looks really bad? And you know what? It never occurred. Even after the loss to the Atlanta Falcons, it never occurred. There were games I questioned. There were games that they won where I was like, well, I don't think they're playing all that good. The game in New York, for example, against the Giants, didn't, you know, they were just in a shootout with the Giants. Defensively, both teams weren't that good. That was the game where Josh Norman and Odell Beckham were duking it out physically. But also, there were games like against the Indianapolis Colts where they had a lead and then let the Colts climb back into it on a rainy day in Charlotte. But all throughout the season, as they ripped off win after win, Cam Newton was establishing himself as an MVP. So all of the little doubt that we had, you can kind of erase that. You can kind of erase that in the history books. I don't think that shows up. Because what you end up having when it's all said and done is this dynamic MVP quarterback, this defense that was really opportunistic and pretty good, and also this team that kept on winning and rolled through the playoffs. Yes, the Seattle game on paper was closer in the scoreboard than it really was in the game. But it clearly was a team that dominated the playoffs, won 15 games, only lost one. Could they be put in the books? Could they be put in the books as one of the all-time greats? I don't know. I know this. I was alive during the 85 Bears. I was not a little kid where I didn't know what I was watching. I was old enough to know what this was. I was old enough to be impressed by it. I was old enough to remember the Monday night game against the Dolphins and still feeling like, you know, the Bears are still a legit championship quality football team. I don't feel that way about the Panthers. I remember the 1984 49ers. They went 15-1. They won the Super Bowl. They won Super Bowl 19 against Dan Marino and the Dolphins. They were the ones, as we were talking about last hour, beat the Bears in the playoffs 23-0. I don't think this Panthers team is on that same level. It doesn't mean they won't go down as one of the better ones, but it just doesn't feel that way. But it, in the end, does it matter? I've said this all the time. They give a championship out to somebody every single year. You have very few opportunities to be historic. It's like what we talk about with the Golden State Warriors. Are they going for, you know, 72? Are they going for 73? Yeah. Why wouldn't they? An NBA champion is crowned all the time. Here's a chance to be historic. You can win a champion. You can win 72 games, 73 games, and still win a championship. It's not either or. And losing one doesn't help you gain the other. You know, it's disappointing at the, you know, for the Panthers when they lost the game to the Falcons. Ron Rivera talked about how, you know, the pressure was off and they slept. I don't like that. I don't like that because there's only, you only get a few chances in sports to do something really historic. And maybe the players really in the end just want a ring and they don't care about stuff like that. If that's the case, okay, that's the case. There's nothing I can do to convince them otherwise. But in the same way Golden State is, same way with a team that's going for 16-0, just because you pursue that or gain that doesn't mean you're not going to win a title. Just as more than likely to win a title as anything else. So the Carolina Panthers winning the Super Bowl could put them on that same, on that elite level, but not as one of the best teams of all time. But, and I was alluding to this earlier tonight, if you look at Cam Newton and what he's accomplished in 5 years, all of a sudden now we have a quarterback that could start etching himself, not just a Hall of Fame career, but a one of the best ones to play the position career. I mean, Heisman Trophy, national championship, Super Bowl MVP, super regular season MVP, Super Bowl champion, rookie of the year. I mean, what else could he accomplish? Now, in this world we live in, you have to win multiple titles. It's a debate that we're having with Peyton Manning. Does Peyton Manning need to win another Super Bowl to put himself on an extra level that he's already on? Put him on top of another level? I think his legacy is secure. I do not think an aging 40-year-old Peyton Manning, you know, being a game manager in Super Bowl 50 adds or lessens his legacy. If he wins, I just don't think it'll be him that wins, although maybe history will say it was. I think this is a defensive win for the Broncos if they do win this one. But I don't think a legacy is going to be destroyed with a loss by Peyton Manning, because I think Peyton Manning goes into this Super Bowl where we know exactly who he is. There's no surprises here. If Manning completes 14 passes for 200 yards and a touchdown, and they run the ball for over 100 yards, and you get that kind of game out of Peyton Manning, well, guess what? Guess what? That's good enough. That's what they're looking for. If he throws for 38 completions and 450 yards and 4 touchdowns, let's be honest, how many of you really think that game is going to come out of that arm on Sunday? Not very many. So if Manning loses this game, the only way I think his legacy takes even a smidgen of a hit is that if the game was close and Manning throws a pick late that sets up a Carolina touchdown or a field goal that wins the game, or he throws 3 picks, or he gets benched. I think it takes a hit. But in the end, I think the sympathy of the game, or at least the just desire to see him go out on top, is residing in his favor. I don't think the wolves are coming out, if you know what I mean. I think this is a game in which if Peyton Manning wins, okay, he adds. If he loses, well, what did we really expect? And it could be that he loses because the defense didn't live up to par. Maybe that's the case. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Your thoughts, if you want to chime in on the Super Bowl and where you see the advantage or disadvantage, and the question I was asking earlier tonight, do you think it's possible at all that Brock Osweiler sees playing time in this game? Should Gary Kubiak start him? No, that's crazy. That's just clickbait and all that other stuff. That's just people wanting clicks on an article. There's no chance that Peyton Manning is benched at the start of this Super Bowl. The Denver Broncos are in the Super Bowl because Peyton Manning was quarterback, and even though that offense struggled, Brock Osweiler didn't win those playoff games, Manning was the quarterback of record that won those playoff games. But I wonder if I'm Gary Kubiak, do I have a problem if Manning starts throwing an interception or two? 800-777-2907. We'll talk more of the Super Bowl. National Signing Day was Wednesday. Who was the big winner? No surprise. We'll talk about that next. Coming up later in the show, Super Bowl 47 in our Super Bowl recap on this date in Super Bowl history, where the Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers. It's all coming up this hour, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Glad you could be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Did you see The People versus O.J. Simpson yet yesterday on FX?
I have not watched that one, no.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
We'll watch it tomorrow, probably.
You got to watch it. You got to watch. Don't get behind on this one like you were Making a Murderer, where the whole country was like, oh my God, that guy's got to be free. And you were like, oh, one day I got to sit down and watch this. Our good friend Andy Pondillo just finished Making a Murderer. Oh, I love that. People are just racing to conclusions immediately. By the way, but back to the O.J. Simpson thing. It's great. It's Cuba Gooding Jr. What an actor, man. He is really good. O.J.'s just this exploding volcano, and Cuba Gooding Jr. plays him great. Just stressed out, right? The police are after him. The police are on his case. John Travolta plays Robert Shapiro. David Schwimmer plays Kardashian. Oh, it's good. It's really good. It's really, really good. After the first episode, they're at the point where he's now in the Bronco, and they just realize he's in the Bronco because he was supposed to be turned into police, and they lost him, and he escaped with Al Cowling, and they went on the Bronco ride. So I can't wait. I don't know though. Like, do you ever watch a true thing, and you kind of have to say to yourself, all right, it's Hollywood. I don't know how much of this is really true or not.
Yeah.
You know, like, they showed him taking a lie detector test and he failed the lie detector. They showed him taking a lie detector test with his attorneys. So there was only his attorneys and the guy who did the lie detector test, and he failed the lie detector test. He did terrible. Right. So I watched that and I go, okay, is this true? Because the only people that would know this would be the guy who administered the lie detector test and the two attorneys. Why would his two attorneys ever say if their client failed a lie detector test?
Yeah,
ever.
That's part I hate about anything that's, you know, a true story, because you just never know what exactly is true and what's embellished a little bit.
Like, lawyers are sworn to secrecy on all of that stuff,
right,
even after the fact.
Yeah.
Never are they allowed to tell. Like, let's say I'm your lawyer and you're accused of murder, and I say to you, did you do this? I'm going to defend you, but did you do this? And you go, yeah, I did this. Well, okay, I now know what kind of defense I can put together, right? Like, what am I trying to get? Like, I know that you did it, so here's the evidence. I am trying to defend you. I am trying to get you off on the charge. So, but I would never, you can't 10 years later go, yeah, Adam killed that guy. When I asked him, attorney-client privilege is for eternity.
Right.
So who knew OJ, who said OJ failed this lie detector test in whatever book or tell all that was out there? Whoever did it, it's either the lie detector guy or it's the two lawyers. And if it's the two lawyers, that's awful. That breaks your oath. So I don't know if I buy that. So I don't know if that's true, but golly, but it was really good. It's well done. I don't know if you're an actor. If you're cool, like playing in this, cause like John Travolta's in it and like David Schwimmer's in it and Cuba Gooding Jr. and Sarah Paulson's in it. But at the same time, you're playing real people that are, for the most part, are still alive. Oh, the guy who plays Johnny Cochran is really good. Really good. Cochran's not on the case yet, but you're playing, you know, Johnny Cochran's passed away, and Kardashian is dead, right?
Yes.
He passed away too.
A while ago. Yeah.
But Robert Shapiro is still alive. He's still doing legal Zoom commercials.
Right.
And And Marsha Clark is still alive, and Christopher Darden is still alive, and OJ is still in jail, and whatnot. People, I think, forget why OJ's in jail. You know, you got to have to remember that OJ's not in jail for this.
Right.
Like people forget, OJ's not in jail for this. OJ's in jail because somebody got his stuff, and he was trying to get his stuff back, and went into a Las Vegas hotel room with a gun and tried to get his stuff back, and that was, you can't do that. I remember the day he got sentenced to jail. I was watching it. It was around January of 2009, I think. I remember watching it going, oh my God, he's going to prison. He's finally going, like, he got away with murdering two people, and you'd think if you got away with murdering two people, you would live a absolute crime-free life after
that.
Yes,
100%.
Right? Like, you would say, that's it. I am not even going to jaywalk. I'm not going to do anything. Like, no, I'm not even going to think about committing a crime. I'm going to pay my taxes. There is nobody can get anything on me. Because the moment I could go to jail for even a misdemeanor, people are going to want the book thrown at me for this. So I'm going to be really careful. And instead, somebody's got his Heisman Trophy and is trying to resell it, and OJ goes in a hotel room with a gun. Ugh. And that's why he's in jail. I heard he's like really... I saw him like at a hearing. They showed him on the news with a hearing. He got really fat. I didn't think you could get fat in prison. Isn't it like the ultimate weight loss? Like, you're not eating a lot.
Right. No, yeah, you shouldn't be eating a lot, at least from what they tell you or tell us.
Maybe they give you more rations than we know, and then you're not doing anything all day, so you just sit there and gain weight. Maybe that. He looked really big. But I haven't seen him. I haven't seen a picture of OJ in years. Years, I say. But it's good. I highly recommend it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it.
You should.
Later today.
Should. Yeah, I now have it taped as a series, and I got my wife into it, too, because I told my wife, I said, you remember the OJ thing, right? Oh, yeah. Well, there's a show on FX. You got to watch it. Yeah, I remember we gathered around when I was working at a radio station. I was running the board for the live, announcement, and so we had to cut out of programming, and we did the live announcement, but everybody here, the problem that I had was I'm running the board, and we're on delay. We were getting it delayed a bit from ABC News, from the TV feed. Like, the TV feed was live, but we were kind of getting it delayed. And so I heard all the groans from the newsroom before I heard it live. I heard it on the radio, on our radio feed, which usually radio is the exact opposite. Usually get radio, but for some reason we were getting it off. And everyone, I heard this groan come from the newsroom, and then I heard it. Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of murder. And we were like, oh my God. And I remember a small radio station in New Hampshire, actually a big radio station, but in a small state in New Hampshire. They did all the talk show, the local talk show went until like 11 at night. They just, my boss was like, we're going to just have a talk. We did a talk show until like 11 at night, just nonstop calls, call after call after call after call of people losing their mind over this. I mean, it was crazy. Crazy time. I can't think of another case like it. I really can't. I mean, we've had 20 plus years of trying to get another case quite like that one, and we never got another one. Not Casey Anthony, not anything else like that. This was that was as big as it got. It really was. It really ended up being the trial of the century. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. Continuing our look at the Super Bowl, we'll get into National Signing Day. The big winner was who else? Alabama. But who else showed up well for National Signing Day? Plus, one minor league baseball team's promotion went horribly wrong. Or did it? That coming up next. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Oh, I just got a tweet from Trey on the fact checker for the People versus OJ Simpson on Twitter. Thanks, Trey. That's awesome. Also, prison food is all soy-based and very fattening. Oh, you ask and you receive on this program. See, I didn't know that. Adam, we both can walk away. We both can walk away knowing something we didn't know when the show started. Trey, well done on Twitter. Well done. What do we call this? We like this. Was that what we do? We like tweets?
Yeah.
We like Facebook. Right. We like tweets. We're going to like those two tweets. In fact, I'm going to retweet Trey's People versus OJ Fact Checker. It's a great show. I try to give you guys other entertainment options on this program. We did the making a murderer thing, People versus OJ. We used to do movie reviews on the show. We should start that back up this summer. I haven't seen a movie in the theater since Star Wars. You obviously haven't seen Star Wars.
No.
Not going down that road. No. No, and you won't.
No.
In case people are joining us who are new to the program, Adam has never seen 1 second of Star Wars. Go figure. All right, so the Binghamton Mets, did you hear about this promotion that the Binghamton Mets want to have during the baseball season?
No.
Speaking of binge-watching, the Binghamton Mets put together a promotion called Netflix and Chill.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Netflix and Chill with the Binghamton Mets. They later, of course, rescinded this when somebody pointed out exactly what Netflix and chill mean, which really bothered me, man. What kind of world do we live in? I get it. If you're a minor league baseball team, you're supposed to be family oriented. But why don't you just ride with that? Netflix and chill. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Because listen, I've worked in minor league sports before. I did 2 years in minor league basketball in my 20s. And you sit around, you try to create promotions all the time, right? Because, that's what minor league sports are about, right? So you try to create promotions. When I was in minor league basketball team in Las Vegas, we came up with a Pokemon promotion. We came up with all sorts of crazy little giveaways and things like that. We had training card night and things like that. That's what you try to do. When you're in minor league baseball, you try to do everything. Star Wars night, you try to do a variety of things. So there's a term that's floating around called Netflix and chill. And that's what you're supposed to, you tell your gal, hey, you want to watch Netflix and chill? And it's supposed to be Netflix and bam, 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 bam. Anyway, they didn't know that. They didn't know that the chill part isn't really chilling. It's more like beeping. Anyway, I can't imagine what that meeting must have been like. They're all gathered around. All right, we have a problem with the Netflix and chill promotion. Oh, really? That seemed like a good idea. Well, here's the problem. Netflix and chill doesn't exactly mean what we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be like Netflix and give somebody a cold drink or kind of chill out with some ice cream or something like that. We thought it could be a cool play on words. It's not exactly that. So we got to change it. But what happened to the guy that goes, no, we're not changing Netflix and chill. We're actually going to keep it the way it is.
You know, when that first meeting happened, when they decided to have the Netflix and chill night, there was some young intern or some young new kid in the room just trying not to bust out laughing.
He's
just
like, I know,
I'm
right?
I'm going to let this go. Like, this is hilarious.
Exactly. He said to himself, I have two choices here. The one choice I can mention, I can raise my hand and go,
guys,
apparently nobody knows what this means. It's like Donald Trump in the debate where he just kind of bounces around an idea. And then one of the politicians goes, let me just tell you what nuclear triad actually means.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. Like everyone around the room is trying to come up with ideas for chill. And like Sally in sales is like, we can give out free Cokes. And the other one's like, how about free ice cream sandwiches? And the other one's like, we can do some ice sculptures. And the intern is like, or we could have sex. Right. Like, because that's what it means. And kill the whole process, or he could say to himself, which is the better answer, I'm not really going to go anywhere in this company anyway. Let's just see where the hell this thing goes. What kind of national attention we can get. Good for him. That's great. Netflix and chill. I always tell my wife, you want a Netflix and chill? And I never get the chill part. The Netflix is fine.
They always fall asleep.
Netflix I never get that. The yeah. There's nothing worse, man. Nothing. And my wife and I have been married 17 years, going on 18 years. And it just happens. She'll be like, the kids will be in bed. She'll go, what do you want to do? It's like, you want to go to the media room and watch Netflix and chill? Okay. She doesn't know what that means, but you want to Netflix and chill? Okay. So she'll get a blanket. And I'll, lay on her lap, whatnot. And then halfway through this movie.
You need to tell her to Google it.
I know, I should, huh?
It's like somehow drop it in a conversation like.
I should just be like, hey, time for chill.
Right.
Time for chill. What do you mean? I thought that's what we were doing.
To sleep.
We're just, that's what we're doing, right? No. Urban Dictionary, no, never mind. All right, fine. I'll see you.
Just like pull it up on your phone.
And, exactly.
Just have it sitting there and then be like, oh, hey, can you look at my phone real fast for something?
Yeah, exactly. She'll see it and kind of go, wow. How could you have, can you imagine if the Binghamton Mets were smart, they'd find a way to do this where the little kids didn't know what chill meant, but the adults knew what chill meant. Do you know what I mean? So like the little kids get coupons for ice cream sandwiches and stuff, but the adults, they get like something special, you know what I mean.
Could they like just do 21 and over type night?
Yeah, no little kids at all.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's supposed to be family, but one night doesn't.
Like, not one night we're not going to have families. One night don't bring your kid to the game. This is the one night you don't want to bring your kid to the game.
It's like a Netflix and chill lock-in at the Binghamton Mets ballpark.
What if you had, like, after the game, we'll be watching a movie on the big screen and sleeping bags all over the infield?
Bring
Help
a tent.
Yourself. Bring a tent. Help yourself. Oh, God. God, it must be fun to work in minor league baseball coming up with these promotions, but also a kind of a secret nightmare. And here's the other thing. If you came up with a promotion, wouldn't you Google the hell out of it just to double check to make sure if it was like,
see if it's been done before, something.
Because it's nothing's... Because nothing's funnier, let's be honest, nothing's funnier than when like an old guy says something that when he doesn't know what it means. You know what I mean? Like when like some 50-year-old guy uses a term the wrong way and he doesn't realize that he's not supposed to use it like that. That happens in radio all the time. I used to work on talk shows where we'd have some like older guy, he's a political guy. He's doing a talk show. He maybe served in like the House Senate. And he's just trying to be funny. And he says a term and I will see producer's head just light up like, oh my God, did he just say that? Does he know what that means? Do we go in there and tell him what that means? He's still using that term? Please tell him to stop using that term. Tell him to stop right now. Like I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. A whole bunch of times. But that's what you got to do when you're in these things. Like, okay, we're taking a terminology. We're kind of spinning it. Let's just double check to make sure. That's all you got to do. Good for the Binghamton. You know what? The Binghamton Mets, congratulations. You did the one thing actually this promotion is supposed to do, and that's promote your team.
Right.
You did a great job. No such thing as bad publicity in minor league sports. You know, the one team in one years ago, a minor league baseball team in Florida had Tim Tebow night to honor Tim Tebow. And of course, he didn't show up. But they had things like they had like a little pool of water and they had a guy like walking on it. Right. And then they had Tim Tebow, something else, all these little divine things that were in the game.
Did you?
And then down the road, down the line, way ahead was a tornado.
Oh, Did you see Tim Tebow did the lip sync battle?
I did. It was
supposedly
funny.
Supposedly he was awful, like really bad. But I haven't gotten a chance to watch it.
I saw it. I thought it was funny. It wasn't meant to be a joke.
Well, it's supposed to be a joke, but they're like supposed to be kind of competing with each other.
He stinks. And, good for Tebow. He's still back
living
in television.
The life.
All right, coming up next, our final Super Bowl of February 3rd, Super Bowl 47, a wild one. Next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow's Super Bowl recaps. Super Bowl on February 4th, Indianapolis over the Chicago Bears. That's all you, man. That is all you. From Dolphin Stadium in Miami. I know, didn't it? That's going to be a good one. I'm debating. I really like doing these. This is really more of a vanity thing for me because I just love going back in time and reliving Super Bowls. I'm wondering, because I only have one on the 4th, if I should, because it's our final show of the week before the Super Bowl, it's our last one, if I should incorporate the two that were on the 5th.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah,
all right, let me do that. I'm going
to it's a really fun segment. You get to relive the games and kind of
relive some moments.
History.
So tomorrow it'll be Super Bowl 41 with the Indianapolis Colts and the Bears. We'll also do Super Bowl 40, the Steelers over the Seahawks. Oh, that should be good. That game was controversial. I remember my Seahawk friends were really angry how that game went down. And then we'll do, let's see, what was the other one on Super Bowl 5? That was the Giants over the Patriots Part 2 in Indianapolis, where they won 21-17. All right, so in case you're just joining us, we are reliving Super Bowls based on kind of like this date in history. And we're going back to February 3rd. And there were three Super Bowls that were played on that day. February 3rd, Super Bowl 36, Patriots over St. Louis. Super Bowl 42, the Giants over the Patriots. And then Super Bowl 47, which featured Baltimore against San Francisco. This was called the Harbaugh Bowl because Jim and John were both coaches in this game. And it featured Ray Lewis's final run at trying to win a title and Colin Kaepernick, who was taking the league by storm at the time. This was played in New Orleans, and the Baltimore Ravens in the first half raced out to a pretty good lead. This was a weird game because there were penalties. There was a trick play that didn't work. If you remember, the Baltimore Ravens had a fake field goal and got stopped 1 yard short of the first down. So they turned the ball over on downs. People thought that that may come back to haunt the Ravens in this game. There were some turnovers. Colin Kaepernick threw an interception in the first half of this game. First time a 49er quarterback had ever thrown an interception. You had four with Joe Montana, one with Steve Young. Niners quarterbacks did never throw an interception in the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick did. There was just overall weird plays. Like I said, penalties, hurt drives, missed opportunities on both teams. But nevertheless, the Ravens in the first half were really putting the screws on to the San Francisco 49ers in this game. Anquan Boldin had a touchdown catch from Joe Flacco. There was Dennis Pitta had a 1 yard catch from Joe Flacco. There was a Flacco through Jacoby Jones at a 56-yard touchdown. There was a couple of San Francisco field goals. So it was 21-6 when we went into the locker room, and it looked like the Ravens were trying to, were cruising. Well, they came out in the second half, and guess what? Baltimore continued to cruise in the opening kickoff as Jacoby Jones got things started again.
So this could be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones. And look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
That made the score 28-6. This is the moment where you go, oh my God, it's a Super Bowl blowout. But then guess what? Somehow the lights went out at the Superdome, and we were delayed for 30-plus minutes. Now, cool it conspiracy theories, because I know there were plenty after this one. No, the NFL did not turn off the lights to get the 49ers back in the game. But the 49ers got back in this game. Michael Crabtree, a 31-yard touchdown catch from Colin Kaepernick. Frank Gore, a 6-yard touchdown run. Now the lead was cut to 8 points. San Francisco then got a field goal, made it 28-33. After a field goal by Baltimore, it was 31-23. And here come the Niners in the fourth quarter. A 15-yard touchdown run by Colin Kaepernick made the game 31-29. The Ravens got another field goal, but then the Niners, late in the game, down near the goal line, turned the ball over on downs. There was a controversial, did Jimmy Smith cause pass interference on the final attempt? Still up for debate. But Baltimore getting the ball deep in their own territory took a safety to give themselves a cushion of 34-31 with 4 seconds remaining. the Niners couldn't do anything, and the Baltimore Ravens won their second Super Bowl. This was a weird game because, like I said, there were just weird opportunities that were missed, bad penalties. There was a little bit of a scrum, if you remember that, the way the players had kind of gotten into a fight, some personal foul penalties were called. I mean, the Super Bowl had a great storyline in the Harbaughs. That was perfect. John and Jim duking it out in the Super Bowl. It also, again, featured a quarterback in Colin Kaepernick that was taking the league by storm, but it also featured Joe Flacco, and the debate was, is he an elite quarterback? And what was the argument? Well, you got to win a Super Bowl. Well, he won a Super Bowl, and he was the MVP. He got his big contract afterwards. That's what he was betting on himself in this Super Bowl. But I look back on this Super Bowl, and I remember tremendous scoring, missed opportunities, the lights going out, the momentum of the Ravens getting stalled because of it, the Niners using that opportunity to get right back into the game, scoring 17 unanswered points. Colin Kaepernick was dynamic in the fourth quarter. The controversial Jimmy Smith hold, if there was one, pass interference, if there was one, depending on your point of view. But in the end, the Ravens were victorious. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.